Right now, let's get to India, where President Obama spent the day with Prime Minister Narendra Modi celebrating Republic Day. That is a major Indian holiday that goes back to 1950 and celebrates India's first democratic constitution. More than 125,000 people came out for the Republic Day parade today in New Delhi in the pouring rain. NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley among them. He's traveling with President Obama, and he joins us from New Delhi. Scott, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
Well, and we understand this was a huge security operation to have the president there amongst, it sounds like, more than 100,000 people. The rain was also unrelenting. Tell us more about the parade.
The Republic Day parade is really a spectacle. It's one part military display and another part, I don't know, Epcot Center. The military portion is sometimes likened to a Soviet parade with tanks and missile launchers rolling down the street, although I'm told it actually owes more to the British tradition, which I guess explains all those bagpipes. The Epcot portion then includes floats from many of the states of India as well as some government ministries. There was a float shaped like Mount Everest honoring a group of women military officers who scaled the summit. And there was a dance troupe that did a number celebrating India's successful effort to launch a satellite into orbit around Mars. So a little something for everyone.
Now, this is President Obama's second trip to India in his presidency. That is a first for a sitting U.S. president. What does this trip mean for President Obama and his presidency?
Yeah, it's a big deal to have a president visit twice. And the White House was actually surprised when the new prime minister here invited Obama to be the guest of honor at the parade. They took that as a signal that Prime Minister Modi is serious about fostering this relationship, and they didn't want to let the opportunity slip away. But what's interesting is the White House ordinarily downplays the role that personal chemistry plays in international relations. They'll say, oh, we can work with anybody as long as we have some shared interest, and especially if we have shared values. But the U.S. has had shared interest and shared values with India for a long time. Obama says theirs is a natural partnership, and yet for a long time, they didn't really progress, and that's partly because of India's entrenched bureaucracy. The U.S. believes Modi could be the agent who can change that.
Well, let's talk about substance here. They actually signed a long-delayed nuclear agreement yesterday, Prime Minister Modi and President Obama. Tell us about that and some of the other agenda items for these two leaders.
Yeah, that is really the big deliverable from this trip is the breakthrough on nuclear power. India could use more nuclear power. It's trying to provide electricity to hundreds of millions of Indians who don't now have it. But U.S. nuclear companies have been reluctant to get involved here because of an Indian law that makes them liable in the event of a nuclear accident. So the two governments think they found a workaround for that, as well as for a disagreement over how to track nuclear material. And that could clear the way for more investment by U.S. firms. Now, the nuclear investment is one big ticket, but there are lots of ways that the U.S. would like to expand its trade to India. The trade picture has been growing, but it's still a really fairly small trading relationship given the size and the population of this country. Today, the president and the prime minister addressed a gathering of CEOs from both American and Indian firms. And President Obama said they're going to try hard to remove some of the roadblocks that have made trade so difficult.
Now, here in India, as the Prime Minister just discussed, there's still too many barriers, hoops to jump through, bureaucratic restrictions that make it hard to start a business or to export, to import, to close a deal, deliver on a deal. We hear this consistently from business leaders like you.
The president did talk about some concrete steps that the United States will be taking, including a push by the Export-Import Bank to finance more U.S. exports to India.
Scott Horsley, how is Pakistan feeling about this trip?
Threatened. How about that? Mm. And it's interesting. The headlines in Pakistan are critical. And, of course, not surprisingly, this is the usual pattern. The headlines here in India are the mirror image of that. India is fairly gleeful that its unfriendly neighbor is getting the short end of the stick. In the past, the White House has always tried to avoid antagonizing Pakistan. The last time President Obama came to India, he said he looked forward to visiting Pakistan as well. You are not, however, hearing that kind of pledge during this visit.
And as we know, the president had to cut short this visit to India. He was supposed to go to the Taj Mahal tomorrow, but instead is going to go to Saudi Arabia to pay tribute to King Abdullah, who died last week. What can we expect from his trip to Saudi Arabia?
The president will pay his respects to the royal family that's mourning King Abdullah's death, and he'll also meet with Abdullah's successor, the former Crown Prince Salman. It's not really clear how substantive their talks will be, although Salman has promised continuity, so we don't expect any big changes in Saudi Arabia. But the two leaders will likely have at least some chance to talk about regional concerns. That would include the ongoing fight with the Islamic State and certainly the recent unsettling developments in Saudi's next-door neighbor, Yemen.
NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley, who is traveling with the president in India and maybe thought he was going to be able to go to the Taj Mahal tomorrow, but instead will be heading to Saudi Arabia. Scott, thanks so much.